Hi, this is Sarah Lawson. I'm the owner of S&H Construction.
And I'm Bruce Irving. I'm a home renovation consultant and real estate agent here in Cambridge, Mass.
Welcome to Builder's Notebook, where we talk about all things construction. Hi, everybody. Welcome to our second season of Builder's Notebook.
Second. How'd that happen?
I don't know. It just was like a blink of the eye.
Well, what you been up to?
Is it been 4 months since the last time we did this?
When's the last one we did?
Something like that. You mean other than the dark New England winter where you try not to slip and break something like that every day? That's what have I been doing?
Yeah, that not that.
What have I been doing? Okay, well, let's see. I've gotten a chance to see some really amazing architecture. I actually went on a trip where I went with my sisters. I have two sisters, both of whom can swing a hammer, FYI.
And we went. Is that like a warning to me?
No. I'm okay, just explaining that it's a family trait. This is, we all do this. But anyway, we went to Palm Springs and we rented a convertible and we drove around looking at these incredible modern developments.
Mid-century modern. Sweet.
But you know, they're a little more crazy out there than they are here because our modern is very...
I didn't need you to tell me that, but go ahead.
Because modern's very subdued here, right? It's sort of like the colors or like the landscape and everything's sort of chill. Out there, they're doing much more outrageous stuff. And it was just delightful. Palm trees, gorgeous design commitment. Amazing.
Why'd you come back?
I know. I was asking myself that question too. Well, it was a tough question. What have you been up to? Well,
I can tell you what was difficult for me to come back from, which was a visit to my daughter in Edinburgh, Scotland. And she put together this astounding trip all the way through the Highlands to the Isle of Skye.
Isn't it great when the kids get big? They can do tour stuff. Guide you. Yeah. Keep going.
Though
sorry.
I drove the stick shift on the wrong side of the road. I'll have 800 miles. But I got to tell you, I've been around a lot of places, and I do think that Scotland is the most beautiful place I've ever been. So please put it on your bucket list if you haven't.
So is it the landscape or the buildings or both?
It's the relationship between the two, interestingly. Nature is, capital N, very much in charge. And man and woman have nestled into it in a very appropriate fashion, at least out in the country.
Right.
The architecture nestles in and is not showy and is not full of frippery, except for the silly castles that the English people built.
Ding, ding, ding. $10 gift certificate to Starbucks for using frippery.
We can use that throughout this season if you'd like.
An excellent. We need to put a list on the wall of like words you get points for.
Fine. Who is coming?
Tracy Litt.
Tracy is a licensed home inspector here in the Commonwealth of Mass. I can't wait to talk to her.
I can't wait to talk to her. I want to say one thing about what a home inspection person is, because when I read this, I thought, oh, you mean a building inspector? A building inspector is the person who works for the city, who comes out and makes sure that you're building your building to code.
Whereas a home inspector is something altogether different, which is what Tracy's going to tell us about. So Tracy, before you tell us what a home inspector is or does, tell us about your business.
I trained as a home inspector in 2008 with Alex Steinberg at JBS Home Inspections, and he hired me. I worked for him for 6 years, and then I started my own company in 2016 with Alex's help.
Nice. Yeah. Anybody work with you or are you solo?
No, right now it's just me.
Got it. All right. We made a distinction earlier before you walked in between a building inspector and a home inspector. Could you expand on what a home inspector is and how you basically frame what you do to your customers?
Yeah. Well, a home inspection is a visual inspection of a property on a given day and time. So those circumstances can change, and on a different day, you might see different things. I spend about 5 minutes at the start of every inspection setting the expectations with my clients. And what I tell them is that all houses have stuff. There's no such thing as a perfect house. There's going to be stuff that comes up, and the goal of the inspection is to prioritize. Mm-hmm. What's a big deal? What's a safety issue? What's an upcoming repair to plan for?
Yeah.
And that's how we kind of go through the inspection. I tell them that I'm not there to advise them on whether to buy the property or not. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of going to read the tea leaves. I'm going to share information. What happens with that information is between the rest of the people in the deal.
In the mix.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a really great way to sort of think about it, because when I read them, because we get them, sometimes we get them before they buy the house, and the reports are not organized in that way. Like, in terms of most of the ones I see are not organized in the way of this is important, this is not important, this is going to cost you money.
Well, I hope no home inspectors are listening to this, but right. Most home inspection reports are terrible.
Yes. Okay.
That's funny, because my experience as a real estate agent is that at least the folks that we work with, you included, Tracy, take the time to take the vast bit in the back, distill it, organize it, into what you just said, priorities, well, safeties, and in the future.
So my report is organized by section, roof, exterior, structure, etc. And anything that I write about as a deficiency, I would assign it a category, duplicate it, and send it to one of these summaries. And I tell them, read the whole report. The summaries aren't everything, but the summaries are my way of taking all this and putting it into different lists.
Yes.
The categories I use are like major deficiency, future repair, safety,
yes,
et cetera. There's no standards about summaries. We're not required or...
Right. You know. I think maybe we should talk about just what are the types of things you inspect. Like in the house, what are you inspecting? And
before we get there, just to be super, super basic, what percentage of the work that you do is for houses that are about to be purchased by a client versus... I don't know, some owner saying, hey, come on in and take a look at my house.
Maybe 95%.
Yeah. Okay. So you are a pre-purchase person.
Yeah. I mean, I have done, probably this year I've done, in the past year, I've probably done 3 or 4 inspections for homeowners.
After the fact.
And none for sellers anymore.
Oh,
people used to do that. Yeah, but you know, with the market the way it is, sellers don't care. They don't have to do anything. They're not interested.
They just have to roll
I have one new construction builder that I work for. I've been doing this for them for years. They hire me to inspect their property as soon as they finish and generate the punch list so that they can address it beforehand.
Interesting.
Okay. Let's go back to your question.
Yeah, I just wanted to give people a picture of what types of things you're looking for and the systems you're reviewing and such.
We're looking at the roof and associated components, chimneys, flashing, gutters, downspouts, etc. Exterior siding, trim, decks, balconies, porches, walkways. We're going to look at the grading.
Wait, I'm going to slow down just a second. Yep. So that first section that you said is all about water infiltration, because you're talking about the roof and the chimneys and the gutters.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when you get down to the ground, you're a little bit also talking about water infiltration, because how the grade is set up and such.
Yep.
So I just wanted to slow you down a little bit, because people who aren't building people might... So keep going, but...
Okay, So we're looking at whether the downspouts are extended and getting the water away from the property. So you're right. It is a lot about water infiltration. The siding, trim, decks are a big thing. I rarely see decks built right, even sometimes new construction.
Yes, that happens to us. We rarely take apart a deck and it's been built correctly.
Looking at the grading of the property as it relates to the home, again.
Grading is the pitch of the ground.
Pitch of the ground, whether it's directing the water away from the house or towards the house.
Right.
I'm going to look at trees and landscaping only as it relates to the house. I'm not an arborist. I don't know anything about trees, but if there's a tree that's too close to the building, I can assume that roots might be interfering with the foundation or drain pipes, stuff like that.
Great.
And then we'd go in the house. I usually start in the basement and look at structure, whatever is visible. Finished basements, not that much structure to see.
You can't see it.
By structure, I mean the foundation, beams, columns, joists, looking for signs of water infiltration. General home inspection will look for signs of wood boring insect damage. I'm not a pest inspector per se, but I usually tell my clients, let's start with me, and if I see something that warrants further evaluation, then you can bring in a pest inspector.
Yep.
In the basin, we'll also look at any visible water supply and drain piping, the water main. We'll look at the systems.
So you're looking at the water main to see if it looks like it's old and needs to be replaced?
I want to know what material it is.
Yes.
I see a good amount of lead water mains still.
Yes.
I see old steel water mains that have what's called a yoke, like an extension on it, which is a past repair. And usually that thing is rusted and it's been on there for 50 years. So those are almost more concerning than the lead water mains because they're going to break and flood your basement.
Yes.
Heating systems. I spend a little time with the heating system, my little educational portion. I call it my HVAC spiel. But because most people don't know. So I start out saying that gas, oil, or propane are fuels that we burn to create heat.
Yes.
And water, steam, or air is how we deliver heat through the living space. Mm-hmm. And you can have any combination of fuel with delivery method. Because sometimes you ask somebody what kind of heat they have, and they say, I have oil heat. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the kind of heat.
Right.
I also explain that everyone uses the term boiler and furnace interchangeably, and that they're two different things.
Right.
I tell them what the differences are.
Yes.
When I do have forced air, I do a little HVAC thing about the refrigerant cycle and how air conditioning is counterintuitive to what we think it's doing. We're actually extracting heat. And people love that.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah,
I'm like, when you go outside and that compressor's spinning and it's all hot, that's the heat they just took from inside. And
right.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
They love that.
And this points out a really important thing, which is the way a real estate agent such as myself puts it. This is a chance not only to find things to talk to the listing agent about, chiseling down the price, etc. We can get to that. We will get to that. But this is also your big chance to have an instruction, you know, an owner's manual built right in front of you by the inspector.
Yeah.
And as you say, people just don't know, nor should they.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a real education.
Yeah. When I was training, it took me, 6 months before I got the furnace boiler thing. I would say...
Yeah.
Furnace, and Alex would go, boiler. And even now, after I explain the whole thing, within 5 minutes, one of the real estate agents is calling at the office.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm sorry. This is the point that I was trying to make, which is it's essential, we say, to a company. Sometimes people send inspectors in and just say, yeah, send me the report. But having the homeowner or the homeowner to be along for the ride is crucial.
Well, I tell people, they say, do I have to be there?
Yeah.
I usually say it's not required, but it's recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Because I say, I'm going to talk as much as you'll listen.
And you're going to learn really cool stuff that you can repeat at cocktail parties about the difference between a boiler and a furnace.
Exactly. I impress people with that all the time. They just left. For some reason, they walk away after a while, but yeah.
We can talk about the walking away part later, maybe when Tracy isn't here. All right, so we left you at the HVAC lecture.
Yes, at the heating systems. We're going to look at the water heater, electrical system. Mm-hmm. We will look for if we see any older wiring, open the electric panel. And I usually tell people, don't do this yourself. Mm-hmm. And then they always try and reach over you, stick their finger in it, and point at something. I feel like Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a scary.
Yeah, and they want to help. Can I hold it? I'm like, no. Nobody should touch this with me.
Yeah.
That is the most dangerous thing that I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have had, you know, you put a screw in and it hits a wire and it's scary.
Scary.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see so much about electrical, though. I mean, you're seeing in the panel.
I am looking in the electric panel for whether the wires are the right size for the breakers they're serving. Are things grounded properly? The other day I saw a panel, and in the sub panel, all of the ground wires came in, were all twisted together, and they weren't touching anything.
Oh.
Not one outlet in the house was grounded. Well, that's not true, but anything coming through that sub panel was not grounded.
Yeah.
I also check every outlet that I can get to. We're required to check a representative amount of outlets. I always find the last one is the one that's like not grounded or, and you want to check as many as you can because there are clues. If you have no grounds on any of your outlets, then there's a bigger issue. One or two, wired wrong, whatever.
Yeah. So do you have a device that's going through and doing that? That's how.
Yeah, I have a tester.
Yeah.
Well, but beyond not being grounded, what are some of the problems you find that don't help that?
That could have reverse polarity, meaning the hot and the neutral are on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Could be a two-prong outlet, so you can't plug a grounded appliance into it.
Got it.
Missing a cover, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Burnt. I see burnt ones, too.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
That'll wake you right up.
Yeah. Okay. Like, well, something arced here. There's a reason. Yeah. I call an electrician.
Yeah. So... is there more? Or,
After
electrical. That's why these things are so thick.
I can't remember what else there was. Like, I've lost. Keep going.
After electrical, we'd start moving in the basement. We'd start going through the house, in the kitchen. We're going to, you know, run the water, check the temperature, look at all of the stuff under the sink, open and close cabinet doors and stuff like that. Look at ceilings, walls. I do try to open every window again. Like, you could You could open nine of them, and the 10th one you go to open, then the top sash slams down. Right. So,
right.
And in my reports, I actually identify the window in the front left bedroom.
Right.
You know, so it's. I think a lot of reports, it just says there were windows that didn't work.
Oh, right.
And I have pictures in there also.
Right.
Yeah. I can only imagine the difference between home inspection reports prior to digital photography and probably, you know, word processing. I have no idea. How long has the profession been a licensed one?
It's, you know? I think it depends on the state also. Yeah.
Here in Mass.
I don't know.
That's fair enough.
I don't know. The first home inspection I ever experienced was of my own first house that I bought in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. And there were no standards and there were no licenses, and I did not know that. And I actually wound up suing my home inspector 6 months later. He was just a guy and, you know, gave me a one-page typewritten thing. And 3 months after I moved into the house, I had to have the chimney ripped open from the basement to the roof.
Yeah.
His systems were venting into a blocked flue.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, is that a problem?
Yeah.
Jeezum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So... if you don't mind me continuing blathering.
No, I am. That's sort of our.
Don't say that's redundant, Bruce. You speaking. You spoke about your training and the licensing process. Just how long is that?
It's long. It's like at least minimum 9 months.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So you have to, we have to pass a test. You have to take a course. The course, you can take it in a consolidated. I went to Connecticut and stayed in a hotel and took it for 2 weeks in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And then you have to apprentice. I believe it is 25 supervised inspections and then 100 unsupervised, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay.
I mean, nobody's ready to do an inspection unsupervised after 25 inspections.
Mm-hmm. That's comforting.
Yeah, that's good to know. You know, I was going to ask the question about the litigation that you referenced and just what is the liability situation with for you?
Well, it was very different back then.
Yeah.
No, but I mean now. I'm sorry. Yeah, the question is now, how is that handled? Because you're obviously doing a great job. You're licensed.
Yep.
But are you sort of vulnerable to being sued, and do you have insurance for that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We all have to carry errors and omissions insurance.
Okay. So we're both dying to ask the question, what's the worst thing you've ever seen?
I mean, it depends on what you mean by worst, like the most dangerous?
Yes. I think we're talking most dangerous. Do you think so?
Okay. Yeah. Well, the most dangerous, I was inspecting a 3-family in Jamaica Plain, like probably a couple of years ago. And did the outside, we got in the basement, and I'm looking at the systems and I'm noticing that instead of venting into a chimney in the center, they're all venting to the side, the foundation wall. And then I kind of go, I don't remember seeing a chimney. And I went outside again, I'm like, there's no chimney. There's a patch where the chimney used to be. And I go back inside and I'm looking and all the boilers had all kinds of corrosion on the top because all the moisture from the combustion products was coming back down.
Right.
I got out my combustible gas detector.
Yeah.
Combustion spillage everywhere. 3 water heaters, 3 boilers all venting into a chimney that had been removed from the roof. People were still living there.
Where were those gases?
I think a lot of them were in the basement, and the unit I was inspecting had a finished base on the other side of that. Man.
But so no one had died from this.
Not yet.
It's sort of amazing.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, that's a sort of testament to how leaky old houses, yes. old buildings
oh, interesting.
Are.
It's age saved them.
Yes.
Yeah.
If that kind of thing.
That's incredible.
Well sealed.
Yeah. The next time I drove by there was a metal flue pipe.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So maybe we can ask the related question because obviously I like dirt. What's the most expensive thing you've ever seen where it was going to cost the customers just a ton of money to fix it?
Though remember, Tracy's not in the business of telling people how much it.
Oh, sorry.
Will be. Okay. But that's okay. I
would say that's structural issues. Yeah.
Like what?
Failing foundations, big horizontal cracks.
Yes.
I don't always know because I go in, I go blah, 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 and I leave and I don't know what happens. I always ask my clients, if you call in a structural engineer,
right.
I would love to see the report and hear.
Yes.
And sometimes I get that feedback and that's probably the most expensive stuff that gets into the tens of thousands of dollars. And retaining walls also.
Sounds yes.
Like, and people overlook
the kind of thing
them.
That people just walk right by.
Yeah. Yes. And they think, okay. And then I go, listen, like retaining wall work can cost $20,000 and you're thinking you're going to spend a couple hundred dollars fixing that.
Right,
so,
right. You think you're just going to put a little bit more,
I don't think I would ever buy a property that had a lot of retaining walls.
That's, I think, a nice little nugget right there. You are holding back nature and it's,
and it's going to win.
And again,
unless you
what you said, I think, just people walk by it and go,
It's on the outside.
It's on the outside.
And they're
what
so excited.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
A related question is how your inspection fits on sort of the emotional wave of buying a house, because people are all excited when they make the offer and the offer is accepted, and then they go in with you and they see all kinds of things they never even knew could be wrong with their house.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
That's why I think it's important that I set the expectation at the beginning of inspection. Because if you don't do that, and that's why it's important to be at the inspection. Because if you weren't at the inspection and you get the report, you're going to freak out.
Yeah.
Even if it's all little stuff. Because you all think, I saw the house. It's in great condition. It's perfect. There's always stuff.
So it's
stuff.
It's context and it's expectation setting.
And it depends what the issues are. So... Okay, it's not really my job to tell people don't buy it or, run screaming from this house. But if I see that the buyer's overwhelmed and I recognize that the issues are significant and more than they're probably capable or prepared to deal with, I have said, let's stop for a minute. Mm-hmm. Let's take a minute. And if at this moment you are sure that you do not want to buy this house and you do not want to go forward, we can stop.
Mm-hmm.
I'll refund you some money,
mm-hmm.
and I won't write a report, and you'll call me the next time.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask the question about waiving inspections and how that happens at this time when the market's so hot. Do you want
to
say it?
No, I want to report to our listeners that Tracy rolled her eyes deeply into her head. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible for everyone except the seller.
To be very specific, folks who are who knows when they'll listen to this, I'll say this from a real estate point of view.
Yeah.
Anybody who has in a super hot market like this, and you know that multiple bids are coming, anybody who has the temerity to actually want to take a good hard look at the property that they're about to shove $1 million across the table will probably not get the offer accepted. And that's where you roll your eyes.
I think it should be criminal.
Yeah, keep going.
I do. I mean, I think that you're denying people an opportunity to do due diligence. We provide an important consumer protection that people are being denied the opportunity of. And it's advantaging buyers that are in a position to assume more risk. And it's just not fair.
Right.
So if a buyer has the money to buy the house, they even scrape together the extra $50,000 to throw on top to get their offer accepted. But they don't have another $20,000 to fix the things that may come up that they don't know about.
Right.
It's only the people that can throw whatever amount of money they need at stuff.
Well, and it's also true that people really don't know how much things cost to repair. And we do have, sometimes we go through, particularly with longtime customers, where they're looking for a place and we walk through with them. And it's tricky for us because we're not home inspectors, but we can say, kitchen, this small kitchen would be $100,000. This whole system would, HVAC system would be whatever. So we try to help them out with that, but it really is, I really worry about the people who just have no idea.
So what's happening now is people are trying to do a, I'm doing air quotes, pre-offer inspection. Hmm. When people call me and they say, will you do a pre-offer inspection? I have to say, what do you think that means? Because it means a whole bunch of different things. People want you to walk through. Some people want to just do an inspection before they make an offer, which I think is the right thing. I understand why you can't do that a bunch of times. You don't want to spend $700 five times on five houses you didn't get.
Right.
And you don't need a report on these houses you didn't get. But up until very recently, it was very taboo. Like the Board of Home Inspectors were threatening people's licenses if they did these. Because if I don't do a full inspection according to the standards of practice, which says I need to write a report, I'm not complying. So my license could be in jeopardy. Up until very recently, I could lose my insurance coverage. Like say I do one of those, I miss something and the person sues me. I have no report. I have no pictures. Nothing. So it was a huge liability. Mm-hmm. And so the last few years, there have been some inspectors that will do it and some won't. Recently, the insurance companies have kind of gotten on board and seen like, this is so we have a contract now. Mm. But I think these mini verbal inspections also are dangerous because they give the buyer a false sense of security.
Yeah.
It's not a full home inspection. Right. Sometimes you're limited in time. So in the last month, I had one inspection where I showed up to do one of these. I call them a property consultation.
Yeah.
It's not an in-home inspection.
You've removed the word inspection. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, and I removed the pre-offer thing too. Anyway, so I show up. There's like 20 people there. There were five home inspections happening at the same time.
Ooh.
I almost refused to do it. Like it felt like I was in a reality show. We were like tripping over each other. And another time, my client wanted me to do a full inspection with a report. Pre-offer. Mm-hmm. I show up, I'm outside doing my thing, and the listing agent looks at her watch, she goes, you only have 30 minutes.
How long does it take you to do it?
It depends on the property.
Right.
Hour and a half is ideal.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems pretty fast to me too. But it's impressive.
Another thing I want to say that's important about this is that people are also hiring me and other home inspectors to do post-closing inspection.
Oh, boy.
I call it the find out what you bought inspection.
Yes.
So I have had people crying by the end of it.
Yeah.
So on one, I found a buried oil tank. Uh-huh. Clearly a buried oil tank. There was no way that the sellers didn't know about it.
Yeah.
It was a small utility room, not big enough for an oil tank. It had just been converted to gas. The old thin oil lines coming through the back wall. This was, they owned it now.
Yeah.
Another one I did, guy hired me. I was doing the inspection the day before they moved in. And the whole back of the house had glass doors, and they were all leaking, and all the hardwood floors in the front of them were wet and warped.
Yeah.
Continuous floors, the whole house.
Yeah.
Because they didn't, how did they not see it? I don't know. They didn't look. Nobody saw it.
Yeah. And the other part that you're not doing, as we've discussed, is you're not valuing these things.
Right.
So when we're going through, it's great we can value them, but we're not home inspectors. So, what are we missing? So it's a bit of a tricky situation for us too, but we can help them understand what they're getting into in terms of what types, the scale of cost. If they're not experienced renovators, they won't know.
Right.
And then they really don't have the money to do what needs to be done.
Right. I did another pre-offer inspection last week, and I went up into the attic, and it was filled with vermiculite.
Yeah.
And other inspections were happening, and nobody was pointing it out. Nobody noticed. I was able to, this is at least a plug for doing something pre-offer.
Yeah.
By the end of that day, my clients had gotten an estimate.
Hmm.
We measured the square footage up there, and I was able to direct them some people so they knew how much it was going to cost to remediate before they made their offer.
Yeah.
So they figured that into it.
Let's just say what vermiculite is.
Vermiculite is a type of insulation that is known to be asbestos.
It's a mineral that was can mined. Hold.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And most insulation companies won't install over it.
Yeah. Well, gosh, as a real estate agent, I heard the word criminal, and I know that that was used perhaps not
literally,
but metaphorically. Mm-hmm. I don't have any smart ideas. This is what people have to do to stay in the purchasing biz. They can just go rent, and if they want to avoid that.
I believe years ago, one of the home inspectors, there was some discussion about a law, mm-hmm. and a lot of home inspectors were against it. I've recently had some home inspectors tell me, I wish I had said something different at that time.
What was that law?
I don't know exactly what it was, but I think that the Attorney General should get involved in this.
Making it so it's
more ideally, if you're listening.
Well, oh, I'm sure she'll be a listener soon, if she's not already.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in states like California, the house has to be inspected prior to being brought to market. But this Commonwealth of ours is a buyer beware state where that is not required. And I've often thought, why would you not do that? And people say, well, you can't trust them. You can't trust the seller. And I guess...
Well, what's going to happen? I know there are lawsuits starting to happen already. I know anecdotally from some mm-hmm. other inspectors. But that's what's going to happen. Eventually, people are going to get sued for... Like what you just said, like you didn't advise your client to waive the home inspection, but you pretty much told them if you don't waive your home inspection, you may as well not make an offer.
Oh, when you say people, you mean people like me?
Yes, I do.
See you in court.
Interesting.
I do. I think eventually somebody's going
to... I mean, because it is easy to say it the way you just said it.
Yeah.
And yet, we try very hard to explain just what is involved with not doing that. But yeah. I take your point.
When I say like, I think that it should be taken out of the equation, and like, you judge your offers based on whatever, but not that. And then whoever gets their offer accepted gets to do a home inspection, like the old days where you had a right to like review this biggest purchase of your life before you owned it. Mm-hmm.
Well, we never really got to, and this is perhaps for another time, but the way that inspections can be used to chisel down the price.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that's a thing anymore.
I know.
Well, that's because the market's how it is.
But I even
stick with it.
Even before this, I would tell, in that expectation setting conversation, I tell my clients, I am not here to say the seller needs to fix anything or pay for it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the purpose of this. This is to educate you about what you're buying. That's all I can do.
I mean, it is used for that, though. In your experience, when the market is flipped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will it ever be flipped again?
If I knew the answer to that, I would be lounging on an island somewhere.
I think you spend a lot of time lounging on an island based on your Facebook page.
Moving right along. I think we've come to the end of our time here. It's a long topic and a good one. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you so much for coming. It was really interesting to hear the details of it. Yeah.
But before you go.
Yes.
Plug yourself.
My name is Tracy Litt. My company is Litt Home Inspection, and you can find me at litthomeinspection.com.
That's also, L-I-T-T.
L-I-T-T.
The kids must love you.
They say, is that really your name? And I'm like, yeah, I was Litt before you were born.
Before Litt was Litt.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. If you want to know more about SNH Construction, you can go to shconstruction.com.
Bruce. and if, for some reason, you'd like to know more about me, I'm at bruceirving.biz.
Definitely go and find out more about Bruce. He's the best.